Thank you, Lord. Hey, hey. Everybody's all quiet. I know it's peaceful, but man, when we get to heaven, it's going to be like loud. At least that's the way I read the Bible. That's what it sounds like to me. I mean, it says there's 100 million angels around his throne saying how great he is. That's got to be loud. 100 million. It said 10,000 times 10,000, which is 100 million and thousands upon thousands. James chapter 2. James chapter 2, we're going to do doer. This is the last time I'm going to do doer. This is it. I'm done. It's the last one. I just sense it and know it. This is it. So if I'm up here next week, it's going to be something different. But for the past 3 weeks, it's been the same thing, and we're going to do it again. Amen? Yeah. Somebody might need it. James chapter 2, verse 14. And this is out of the New Century Version. I don't know if y'all have the New Century or not, but I'm going to read it out of that, Sorrels. My brothers and sisters, if people say that they have faith but do nothing, their faith is worth nothing. Look at that. My brothers and sisters. He's talking to Christians. He's not talking to the world. He's not talking to somebody that doesn't have a relationship. He is talking to the people that actually have a relationship with God. You actually have to do something. Seriously. When you get born again and Jesus becomes the Lord of your life, you don't just sit down and stop. It's not like you've arrived to some particular place that you're trying to get to in God. It's ridiculous to think that you step over into a whole entire new kingdom that you didn't live in before, became a brand new creation that never existed before, and all this great spectacular thing happens in the spirit for you just to not do anything. And it seems like in the Christian world that the body of Christ thinks that way. We get together, and don't get me, I'm not trying to lighten the load on getting folks saved. Heaven rejoices. The angels throw a party. They build a mansion. I mean, it's a big deal in heaven, but it's not the end. We do that here. We come up and we pray and do that and we cry and we do our stuff there, and then we go home and we come back, we get dunked in water, and we feel like that's the end. That's just the first step into a whole new lifestyle, a whole new world, a whole new way of thinking, a new way of doing, a new way of talking, a new way of actually being. You become something completely different. You're a brand new being. How you operate from now on is going to be completely different. That's just the first step. My brothers and sisters, if people say that they have faith and do nothing, their faith is worth nothing. We as a church, we as a body of Christ, we as people have to realize that if we don't move, Jesus is not moving. If we're not taking a step, he's not taking a step. If we're not speaking, he's not speaking. If we're not touching, he's not touching. There's such a large task that's been placed upon us. It's a huge task, but it's a very simple thing to operate in. It's a very simple thing to step into. It's not like you got to do 4,200 steps of this, and then you got to do that, and you got, no, just do something. If you believe it, move on it. Do that thing. Take that step, and then let God just do what he's going to do through you. We worry about the, you know, what kind of world are we in? This world's just going to heck in a handbasket. Yeah. It is. Because the church is sitting around not doing nothing. We sitting around saying how bad things are as opposed to changing those situations and making them better. Instead of bringing the word of God to a particular situation and bringing what God tells us to do in that situation, we'd rather sit back and talk about it and how bad it is. That's what we do in church. We're saying how bad everything is and won't take a step forward to make a change. If there's a problem, fix it. If there's an issue, jump in there. Do something. Why? Because if you don't, your faith that you think you have is worth nothing. You've deceived yourself by not being a doer. You're just being a hearer. It's what the Bible says. I don't know. We're going to keep going. What I said, can faith like that save them? A brother or sister, verse 15, a brother or sister in Christ might need clothes or food. If you say to that person, God be with you, I hope you stay warm and have plenty to eat, but you don't give that person what they need, your words are worth nothing. In the same way, faith by itself that does nothing is absolutely 100% dead. It's dead. Anybody ever picked up a dead animal? Been around a dead animal? The first thing, it stinks. It smells bad. Don't nobody want to be around it except the buzzards and the bugs. It stinks. It's smelly. If it sits there long enough and is dead long enough, you can smell it from afar off. I mean, we had an armadillo in the yard, what, about a week ago? Yeah, it was nasty, man. The guts was all out. I think the dogs had gotten into it. We don't feed our dogs like we're supposed to, so they just eat whatever. That's not true. No, I feed. If you see my dogs, they're all lumping around fat. They eat good. They eat better than most people. So this armadillo's sitting there, and its guts are everywhere, and it's just nasty. And you can smell it. You know, like whenever I got out of the car, like, all right, something's dead. You know, you can smell it. And so I went and I got my shovel. I got two kinds of shovels. I got the one with the flat nose, and I got one with the round nose. So I got the flat nose because it's a little bit easier to pop that thing up on there. And I got him, and I went over to the woods. Like, if y'all ever been to my house, like on the back side of our house, there's probably about maybe 10 yards from the swimming pool to where you hit some woods. And it's just woods because I don't do nothing about all that. I just let God grow it. And I just let it go. Have at it, Jesus. You can plant that. Yeah. No, you can't. That's right. So anyway, I got my armadillo, and what I normally do is there's a creek on the other side of the house, and I normally take, you know, stuff like that, put it down there by the creek and let the water wash it away and all that. Well, this time I was going to be smart because I was in a hurry, and I just chunked it right there. put the shovel down and went back in the house, and I don't know, maybe about 3 or 4 days later, that smell just, wow. That armadillo was cutting up. I mean, it was bad. And you know what I did about it? Nothing. I didn't do nothing about it because I was feeling lazy and I wasn't going to do nothing about it. So one more day went by and I went outside and I can't remember what I was doing outside. Probably nothing because that's what I do at the house is nothing. My daddy told me a long time ago that everybody in life does one thing really good. What you're supposed to do is go out there and find out what you do really good so you can pay somebody else to do what they do really good. So that's kind of how it works at my house. So if you see me at my house, I'm doing nothing. So it's smelling, and I don't know why I was outside, but I was outside, and it was smelling bad. And I was like, okay, well, I got to go do something. So I got to go find this thing because I can smell it. It stinks. It's smelly really bad. And I go digging around, and I finally find the armadillo, and I take it, and I had to walk it all the way down to the creek, and I tossed it in there. And guess what it smells like now at my house? Not dead armadillo. It smells like God growing just a bunch of stuff behind my house. But if I'd have let that armadillo just sit there and sit there and sit there, that smell would just linger and linger and linger until the maggots and the bugs get tired of eating up on it and it becomes whatever it is that it goes back to the ground. Decomposition. Thank you very much. And faith that's dead is just like that dead armadillo. It don't matter how much you try to cover it up. It doesn't matter what you try to do to hide the thing. It's smelly. And if you don't do anything about that dead faith that you've got, it's going to continue to just stink and stink and stink. So faith that does nothing is just like that dead armadillo. It just smells bad. And then you wonder why people don't like you so much. It's because you smell bad. They get around you and you're like, man, we've been doing this and we've been doing that. And you sit back going, oh, I don't want to do nothing. Because I'm just, you know, things are not good. They're just bad. Y'all know people like that? I know it ain't none of y'all. I'm talking about the church as a whole, right? You know, things are just bad. Man, yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Plah, 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 plah. Not any life at all coming out of them. Everything coming out their mouth is smelling like a dead armadillo. That tells you real quick that faith in there is dead. So if you find yourself in that situation and you know for sure, like I ain't trying to say it's y'all, it's probably me, you know, that the reason why the Lord's bringing it up is because I need to make some changes. And so now that I notice that my breath is stinky, I got death breath, and everything I talk about smells like a stinky armadillo because my faith ain't working and doing nothing, I'm going to start doing something so that way my breath don't smell like death breath and stinky dead armadillo. Does that make sense? Huh? Yeah. Shockingly, it does. Faith that does nothing is dead. And I mean, and not only does it smell bad, but dead things are heavy. They're heavy. For some reason, a dead dog, like, you know, I've had some dead dogs, they weigh more when they're dead than whenever they're alive. And I don't know if it's the leverage I got on the shovel or what, but they just seem to weigh more. Something that's dead just kind of lays around. It don't help you get nothing done at all. It just lays there. It's heavy. Next thing you know, you're feeling all tired and worn out. I don't know why I'm tired and worn out. I just ain't done nothing for weeks, and I'm just so tired and fatigued all the time. It's because you're toting around some dead faith. You trying to haul that stuff all over Minden, Louisiana, and it's heavy. It's like you got a big old, y'all know those big tires, you know, the strongest man in the world, you know, and they get them big tires and they strap them on and they pull them big tires. Y'all ever seen that on TV or no? Yes. Y'all seen that? That's what you're doing in the spirit world. That's the way you look. Except you ain't big and bulky. You all thin and shrill and trying to pull and calling yourself self in faith. I'm believing God. Pulling around, yeah, copy and paste. Pulling around some old dead faith that you ain't done nothing with, that's stinky. Everybody can smell it. You all tired and broke down, and that's why you don't feel like going to church. Because you just got some old dead faith. Man, I'm going to get off of that. Y'all ain't liking this. When you start talking about doing things and becoming a doer of the word and not just a hearer only, and you actually decide that, you know what, I'm not going to have this dead faith anymore. I'm going to have faith that's alive and active. And you begin to start taking that step into doing something. You have a grand opportunity at some point in there, no matter what you're doing, to absolute 100% stop. You know, I found myself over the years that God will tell me to do an act or do a thing, and I'll begin to do that thing, and I get a little tired in doing it. Get a little worn out in doing it. Like, my goodness, man, how long I got to do this? It's about to get, you know, and you keep doing this, and next thing you know, you just done quit and stopped. And I don't know about y'all, but if you want to fail, at anything at all. I don't care what it is. You want to fail at it? Quit. That's how you fail. You want to fail in life? You just quit doing life. You want to fail at your job? You quit your job. You just failed. So we're going to talk about that this morning. Y'all go to, I think it's Matthew, what is it, 14? Oh, amen. I think that's what it is. Yeah, here we go. Matthew 14, verse 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples go into the boat and go before him to the other side while he went and sent the multitudes away. And this is after feeding 5,000, okay? Next verse. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was there by himself. Now he done sent the disciples off, went and prayed, rest of the evening, and come out of prayer going, wow, ain't nobody here. I'm by myself. What'd he do? But the boat that they were in, that he was supposed to be in with them, was out in the middle of the sea being tossed by some waves because the wind was starting to cut up a little bit. Now, on the fourth watch of the night, which I have no idea what time that is, but some of y'all might, and y'all are smarter than I am, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. So the story is, Jesus praying, figured out, I'm by myself. Where's my folk? The folk are out in the middle of the sea in the boat. I got to get there. So Jesus, of course, is like, I'll just go. And he just walked on up in the water, and he's going that way. Y'all with me? Fortunately, all right. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost, and cried out with fear. And I love how this thing does it. It says that they were troubled and cried out with fear. It's a ghost. Now, them dudes were going, whoa, look at it. Do you see that? I mean, they're like freaked out. Have y'all ever seen that paranormal stuff they try to put on TV where they got the security camera thing and all of a sudden that chair goes by itself? Y'all ever seen that stuff? That's just stupid. Don't watch it. But how freaked out you get when you look at something as silly like that, that's how freaked out they were right here. It's a ghost, and they cried out for fear. Verse 27, but immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, be of good cheer, hang out. It's good, guys. It's me. Don't be afraid. I'm heading out there because y'all left me while I was praying instead of waiting on me. Y'all went ahead and left me, so I'm having to pull off this walking on water stuff because of you. Anyway, be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. Verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come out on the water. And what did Jesus say to him? He said, come on. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, at this point, Peter has now become what we would call a doer of the word. He got a word from Jesus. Jesus said, come on out here. Come. Four letters in a period. Come. He took that one word that God had given him, that he knew that he had heard from Jesus himself, and he climbed out of the boat and stepped out based on his trust and faith in that word. And what did he do? He walked on the water. But if we continue in the story, I'm not going to continue to read, but if you continue in the story, what happens after that? Y'all remember? Y'all remember what happens? He starts walking on the water, but you remember the wind was kind of cutting up a little bit and waves start tossing around, and he starts looking at all that going, I'm walking on water. And there's a lot of waves. And he's having to step over waves too, and he's kind of walking up some of them, and I bet it's just a little weird. And he's looking around, getting all distracted on not paying attention and keeping his eyes on Jesus. And what happened to Peter? What happened to him? He sunk. Why? Why did he sink? Because he had forgotten the word that Jesus had given him. That's what he was walking on. He wasn't walking on the water. He was walking on God's word to come out there. He heard the word of Jesus, and that's what he was walking on. That's where his confidence was. That's where his trust was. His trust wasn't in the water to hold him up. His trust wasn't on his feet to guide him where he needed to go. His trust was in God's word, and he allowed all of these things around him to distract him from the word of God. And when he got distracted from the word of God, when he took his eyes off of what Jesus had told him to do, when he took his eyes off the Lord, when he let his mind go to other places, to all these other distractions that are out there, when he did that, he began to sink. And of course, we all know the story. Jesus came up, picked him up, and said, come on, and took him back to the boat and said, why is it that you ain't got no faith? And Peter's like, man, I don't know. All he needed to do to make it all the way to Jesus is just remember what God had said. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, come. And he got out there and his foot. Could you imagine? Just for a minute, put yourself in there. Put yourself in a spot. You just stepped out of the boat. You at Lake Bistineau in a pontoon. You in a, oh, y'all like to kayak. The people like to kayak now. You don't like to kayak? We're going to Lake Claiborne next week. I dare, is it next week? Lake Claiborne. Go ahead and just try it. Just stand up in there. And put your foot, he put his foot, can you see yourself? Think about that. Took his foot and put it on the water and it held him up. That's got to be a freaky feeling. I mean, freaky. And he starts doing some freaky stuff that just don't make no sense at all. But it's working. And it's working because God told me to do it. It might seem foolish, but it is confounding what people would say would be a wise way of walking. I'm not walking like most folks walking. I'm walking the way that God's told me to walk. I'm walking over every obstacle that's between me and where I need to go. Why? Because I trust that word and that word alone. Amen. Let's look at some other guys. John chapter 2. Uh-oh, this thing's about to run out of battery. I think it's John chapter 2. Are y'all hanging in there with me? Everybody good? John chapter 2. Hey, here we go. We're going to a wedding. On the third day, there was a wedding. Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus, Mary, was all up in there. Man, Mary was just having a good old time. She got invited to the wedding. Jesus done grown up some. She's trying to show him off. Look how pretty his eyes are. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding, too. She's like, look, see, he got folk going with him, too. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to them, they've ran out of wine. What did Jesus say to her? Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. I would not recommend talking to your mama like that ever. I don't think I've ever said to Marsha Lee, hey, woman, I don't know if I ever done that. But evidently, the Son of God could get away with it because she didn't spank him. The mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Now, what's this? Wait, back up. I don't want to zip through it too quick. Whatever he says, even if it don't make sense, even though it sounds funny and weird, and it sounds like something you ain't never done before, whatever he says to you, what are you supposed to do with it? You're supposed to do it. All right, verse 6. Now there were set 6 water pots of stone. You got to be careful on that one. There were set there 6 water pots of stone according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Anybody ever carried a 5-gallon bucket of water? All right, it's heavy. Times 6. That's how much this stuff weighed. These dudes, and they're made of stone. They're heavy. I mean, for some reason in our brain, I think we kind of just act like it's just, they just went and filled up the pots. And no, this was work. Most of the time, whenever Jesus asks you to do something, it's going to be work. My face is red because of work yesterday. Did I do good? Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Let's say it again. Thank you, Jessica. One more time. Yeah. You'll find out if you begin to minister. You don't think I did what? Okay. They're cracking on me now, so I don't want to hear it. I like to ask for compliments. I don't get very many of them, so I got to ask for them. Oh. Anyhow, When you'll find out if you begin to be a doer of the word. You're going to find out. If you've just been a hearer this whole time, you deceived yourself and you're just sitting around thinking you do something whenever you ain't doing nothing and you got a dead faith. But if you begin to do something, begin to step out, you're going to find out real quick the way you spell ministry is W-O-R-K. It's work. It's hard work. Before, on the scripture before they walked on the water, they fed 5,000 people. 12 guys, minus one, because Jesus probably just sat around. No, y'all go do it, because he was tired. No, I'm playing. But more than likely, he told the disciples to go do it. So, yeah, it was 12 of them. Jesus was 13. That's right. Okay, so 12 of them went. I'm getting my brain right here in a minute. 12 of them went out and fed 5,000 men, not including the women and the children. That's some work. We fed, how many folks did we feed yesterday, you think? Huh? A bunch. But it wasn't 5,000 men plus the women and the children. Right? And we had more than 12 people helping. And it was hard. It was some work. Could you imagine 12 men feeding 5,000 men plus their women and their children? That's some work. W-O-R-K. Welcome to the kingdom. Anyway, Jesus said, go fill the water pots. And so they went and they filled them up to the brim. Keep going. And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it to him. And y'all know the rest of the story. They took it to the master of the feast. He drank it. And when he drank it, he said, this is the best wine I ever had in my entire... Wow. I mean, it was wow wine is where it came from. My point is that these men, whenever Jesus told them to go do this thing, they went and did it. A lot of heavy work, heavy lifted. Then they went and they took a cup, dipped it into this pot full of water, and took water to the dude that was paying them to be there for that day and told him his wine. Now let's think about this. Those men took a glass of water to the man and said, here you go, here's some wine, enjoy it. Why? Because Jesus told them to. We can't get caught up in wondering whether or not that's wine or water in that cup. That's not our deal. Our deal is to simply fill up the pot and take it. Because that's what he told us to do. The rest of it is his job. We don't perform the miracle. He performs through us, but we're not the one making it happen. We're just the doers in the thing. We're just the tool in the thing that makes the thing happen. We don't get nobody saved. I ain't never got nobody saved. I've led them to Jesus and his saving grace has saved them. But I was just a tool to get them there. And we can't be thinking about whether or not it's going to happen. Because that's not our deal. When you lay hands on somebody that's sick, when I lay hands on sick people and I pray for them, it ain't my deal from that point because I did what I was supposed to do. I'm just the tool that's supposed to do that part right there. That's my part. I did it. The rest of it's up to him. But I've got to have gumption enough, courage enough to be able to step up and put my hand on that person because he's got to have me to get the deal done. I lay hands on him and then from that point it's on him. I've done my part. I did my part. I moved where the anointing was. The anointing was sitting there waiting for somebody to show up and fix the problem. I showed up. I flowed in the anointing. I did exactly what Jesus has told me to do, and I'm out. It's not up to me to think about whether or not it's going to work. That ain't your deal. It's not on you. Is this making sense? We can't quit. We just can't stop. That's the thing in the church world we have to set in our minds is that we have got to continue to move forward. Paul said this one thing that I do is I forget those things that are behind and I press forward. Why are you pressing forward, Paul? Why do you forget what's behind? Because what's behind has already happened and the only thing I have is what's in front of me. And if I don't move, if I don't step forward, if I don't get out there and take something that seems like it's silly to the master of the feast. If I don't do as Jesus tells me to do, then I've got dead faith and I'm starting to stink up and nothing is happening. Nothing is happening. I said last week that we take, where we go, we take heaven with us. Heaven shows up when we show up. If we don't step, heaven's not stepping. If we're not there, heaven doesn't show up there. We have such a responsibility to take Jesus to the world. We can't just sit on it. We have to take him. We have to move. We have to do. We have to step. And when we begin to step and do, it's not up to us to think whether or not it's going to work out. Go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. And I'm probably fixing to stop because I'm beginning to spit. Yeah, y'all got a water? He threw it like this. I did work for it. It wasn't a throw. It was the catcher, I promise. Y'all saw it. It hit my hand, and I just missed it. Don't go there yet. Go to Galatians. Galatians, I think it's 6. Y'all like my lapel mic? All right, look at this. This is the Word of God talking to you. This is God talking to you. Listen up. The creator of the entire universe, everything you see, touch, and feel, is now speaking. Listen to what he says. Let us, which includes him, because he has to use faith just like you do, let us not grow weary while doing good. That's the King James Version. Let us not grow weary while doing good. Don't grow weary while you're trying to do good. Don't get all, oh, it ain't working. Don't do that. The creator of the universe, God speaking, let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, what? We shall reap if we don't lose heart. There's a part of the story of Jesus before he goes to the cross where he's in a garden, and he's praying so hard that he is sweating bullets of blood. Y'all familiar? In this spot, he asked God, if there's any way that I don't have to do this, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And I can't remember how many times he prayed. He prayed it more than once, didn't he? I think it was 3 times. Do you know how God answered him? Just like this. He didn't say a word to him. Why? Because God had already told him what he was to do. He was to go and present himself on that cross. He was to go, climb up on that cross, let those men treat them the way that they treated him, let them do to him what he knew. What he knew he could stop, all he had to do was open his mouth, and he didn't say a word. He did exactly what God told him to do. For in due season you'll reap if you don't lose heart. Jesus came that close. Asked him 3 times, is there another way to get this thing done? Everybody goes through a hard time whenever they're trying to do what God has asked them to do. Our master went through a hard time trying to do what God had asked him to do. But if we don't lose heart, we're going to reap. Amen. Now you can go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Does that make sense? Y'all with me? Yeah. Y'all got real quiet on that one. It was like, shh. Therefore, don't cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, the King James says patience, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Endurance, patience, staying the course. Do not lose track of the course. I watched The Patriot yesterday. Y'all ever seen the movie Patriot? Mel Gibson? Watch that. That's probably about the 500th time I watched it. His son tells him, stay the course. Because Mel Gibson's wife had told him before, stay the course. And then later on in the movie, he's like, should I go take care of this guy that killed my sons, or do I help the American cause and stay the course? I'm going to stay the course. Does the thing. If we stop what we're supposed to be doing, if we get off the track of what we've been called to do, if we don't step out and stay the course, then the receiving of the promise will never come to pass. You have need of endurance. Oh yeah, there's more. A little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. What's the next one? I like the next one. Now, the just shall live how? By faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Y'all can read that. We're not to draw back. We're not to stop. We're to be doers of the word, period. You know, this Bible has been saying the same thing since it was spoken. When the writers of these words, the words were spoken by the Spirit of God, inspired by the Spirit of God, whenever these men began to write the thing down, it has never changed. Have you ever noticed that? It's never changed. Everything remains the same in it. We may have different versions and all that kind of thing, but at the end of the day, it's never changed. Why? Because God's never going to change what he's asked you to do. The Bible says that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. He is not going to take them away. If he's asked you to do something, he's not going to change his mind. His asking you to do something, his directing of you to do something is just as constant as his word is. The gifts and the callings that you have on the inside of you are without repentance. God has put them there on purpose for you to touch this world. For his glory. And if you don't do that which you have been called to do, if you don't step out and use the gifts and the talents that God has put on the inside of you, then he has to create someone else and raise them up to come and do what you were expected to do in 2020. And he's got to wait another couple of years to get the thing done. Whatever it is. Every last one of you has so many talents, gifts, and things that God has put on the inside of you that he wants to see come out. But until we begin to operate using our gifts and talents for his glory, it'll stay dormant. And you'll die full of the power of God that never escaped. You'll die full. I'm looking to die empty. I want to die empty. I want to do it all. Lord, use every bit of me that you can. Y'all stand. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to do your word. We thank you, Father, that as we step forward and step out and step in, that you'll be there. You'll meet us there, Lord, because that's where you are. You are in the doing. You're not in the, you're in the doing is where you are, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that as we step and go, we'll be blessed in it. Because that's what your word says. We'll find ourselves blessed because we're doing exactly as you say. So, Father, I ask you to bless these people that are here. Y'all all lift your hands real quick and receive from God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Strength, peace, forgiveness, and mercy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We're going to do better next time. We're going to do better next time. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all have a good day.